God bless you, church. Pleasure and honor to be here with you this evening. Thank the Lord for being in the house. I'll just ask you to sing this song with me. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. We need the rain. We need the rain. Oh, we need the rain. Oh, we need the rain. We need the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Oh, send the rain. Send the rain. Oh, it's raining. It's raining. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's raining. Open. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. One more time. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you, thank you. Let us give a prayer for the service and the word tonight. Dear Lord God, we thank you, Jesus, just to be here one more time, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for predestinating us to be here tonight, Lord God. During the week, so many things pull on us, Lord Jesus, but we come here on a Wednesday night to pull on your word, Lord God. Lord God, as we taught, you are your word, Lord God, so we believe it, Lord Jesus. Lord, your word has victory, Lord. You have never failed, so your word can never fail, Jesus. Lord God, we pray for the order of the service, Lord, that even a song, Lord God, that it'll be able to touch your heart, Lord God, to be able to receive your word, Jesus. Lord, we pray for the minister, Lord God, that he be able to step out the way, Lord God, and you take control, Lord God. Lord, we're ready to hear from our favorite preacher, Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Bless those, though, that weren't able to make it tonight, Lord Jesus, but had the heart to want to be in a place of worship tonight, Lord God. Bless those still on the way, Lord Jesus. Give them traveling mercies, Lord, from wherever they are, Lord, to be here, Lord God. Lord God, we don't take the being in this house, Lord God, for granted, Lord Jesus. We're thankful, Lord. I just want to tell you thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're just gonna sing this little song, and then we'll ask Brother Jack to come out. First, I just want to say, God bless these brothers. They make it look easy to be up here. but I know Lord got something. Lord God, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desire revealed in me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Brother Jack. Oh, I give myself away so you can.
Oh, to you
I belong.
Yes, I give myself, give myself to you. One more time, my life is not my own. Say, my life is not
my own.
Yes, to you
I belong.
Oh, I give myself, give myself to you. Give myself away, give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can. One more time, say, I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We'll, in our Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's read a couple verses and we'll move forward in our lesson for tonight. Good to be back in the house of God. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and let's start at verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now when you think about those words that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever, this means this man had went over the line. right? When you think about that. And you can sin in such a way where you cross the line with God, right? You can, sometimes we make grace a disgrace. And God don't want you doing that. When he gives you grace, he wants you to appreciate that. And when he's giving you grace and you think about what he's done for you, it ought to cause you to want to serve him more and serve him better. We deserve death, but he gives us life, right? And so young people know that there is a line that you can cross. You can keep pushing, you can keep pushing, you can keep pushing, and then eventually you're going to get so far till you've crossed the line. And when you cross the line, there is no coming back. I mean, and I think Brother Troy was saying this when he was preaching that, you know, when people come here and sit here this close to heaven, this close to heaven, and they end up doing something that caused them to be so far from heaven, right? But just know you can cross the line. Don't think that God's grace, amen, is something that you can just do whatever you want to do with. Eli, as a minister, crossed the line. He crossed the line. I'm reminded of a young lady, Brother Branham used to tell the story of her. She was in the meeting, and Brother Branham had an altar call. And he says, I just feel led to, you know, stay here at this altar call. And I know God is dealing with somebody, wanting them to come to the altar tonight. And as he's there, he said, young lady, you know, I believe the Lord is dealing with you. Don't you want to come and give your heart to the Lord tonight? And she pretty much looked at him and said, I'm not going up there to the altar. And after the service, she went and she approached him and said, don't you ever embarrass me like that again. In front of everybody by calling my name out like that and pointing at me and telling me to come to altar. Don't ever embarrass me like that. I'm a deacon's daughter. And so Brother Branham said, I felt like the Lord was dealing with you, sis, and I just did what the Lord told me to do. Well, just don't embarrass me like that. 1 year later, he went to that city again, and that girl happened to see him coming down the street. And when she saw him, she had a little smirk on her face, and as she looked at Brother Branham, she said, hey, preach. He said, would you like to have a drink? And he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself asking a preacher if he wants something to drink. Then she went a little further and said, why don't you come back and go to my room with me? Asking a prophet to do these things. And he says, you know, I'm a minister and I would never do anything like that. And she says, well, I do want to tell you something. She said, that night that you called me to come to the altar, yeah, God was dealing with my heart, but I refused him that night. And because I refused him, now my heart is so hard towards God. She said it like this, say, I could see my own mama's soul frying in hell like a pancake, and I would laugh at it. Her heart had got that hard. Right? And this is what I mean by you can get to a point where you cross the line with God and you never ever want to get to that spot. You have crossed the line, no more grace offered to you. Trust me, people, I'm saints of God, hear me. You don't want that to happen to you. Don't, can I just put it like this? Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Yeah, don't be in here halfway, half stepping. Either give God everything, because if you can't give God your all, he actually ain't taking nothing. Because he gave his all. He wants you to give your all. And it got to be a free will offering. God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you everything, every part of me. I'm giving that over to you. Don't play games with God. One day you're going to go too far. You cross that line, that'll be it. Heart be so hard, and you like wonder, how did I get out here? Because you kept playing with God. You kept playing with God. Amen. All right. So let's look at this verse. Verse 14 says, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee, I pray thee hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. And you remember in the first part of this chapter, there was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. But by the time we get to the end, the word of the Lord is starting to be revealed to Samuel. So thank God. I want to go back. We stopped on a particular quote the last time out of the Voice of God in His Last Days. I think I'm on page 29 there, and it's going to be paragraph 27. Let me see here. All right. Let me just make sure I got that right. Okay. So he says here, and if we notice in our scripture reading that the voice of God was foreign to them, and it's become that way again today, that the voice of God, there's so many other voices. And then if God promised he would give us that, and if other voices are contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of our enemy to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. And I was saying this on Sunday. I'm sure everyone is spiritual enough to see that we are being bombarded with voices, especially the political voice. And we have to be careful with this one. We have to be very, very careful. If we're not careful, this political voice will bring division right in the body of Christ. Because people just they so in tune with it. They get a tweet every day, they get a text every day, and I mean, I know that they were talking about the first 100 days and all the things that's happening. I'm like, my, all this that's happened in the first 100 days, what's going to happen in 4 years? Laws are being changed, right? And all kind of stuff is happening, just creating so much division amongst the body. And we gotta be careful. Don't let a political voice, I know churches have been torn apart by it. People that rise up prophesying about certain people are gonna win an election, and then they don't win the election, and then they never apologize about the prophecy that went forth. You said, thus saith the Lord, well, it was delayed by 4 years. No, you can't do things like that. Brother Branham made it very clear. He says, what good would it do for me to tell you who the next president was gonna be? A prophet would never even touch a subject like that. What good would it do for me to tell you? And even, that means he knew, right? What good would it do for me to tell you who the next president going to be? I just had a conversation with some brothers about did Kamala Harris fulfill the prophecy of a woman vice president or president? And I said, well, she actually was. She was voted in as a vice president. What more does anybody need to say whether that prophecy was fulfilled or not? And so, well, we thought that she would be like in control. As a vice president of a country, she is in control. There, I'm not looking for anybody else to come and fulfill that. And then I had to go a little further and say, look, you know, brother, the president was, at that time, had to have surgery, and he went under anesthesia, and they had to vote her in. I mean, swear her in as president for a few hours. It was double fulfilled, and we know the Catholic Church is running everything. This is already fulfilled. I will tell you one other thing, though. That's only six visions. There's a seventh one, and in the seventh one, the prophet saw debris all over the land of America. And I'm just telling you, we've been set up for some prophecies to be fulfilled. So I, and for me, I'm just telling you where I'm at. America's not my home.
Amen.
America's not my home. And there ain't no other country you can go to that you can call it your home. We are citizens of another kingdom. And our focus and our attention should be on that kingdom. All the other voices around here, y'all, it ain't no sense. I mean, you go to work, people just bombarding you with their thoughts and their ideas. And I want to just tell you what the words say. Praise God. Amen. It's so many voices that it's pulling us away from actually hearing the voice of God. There's voices on Instagram. There's voices on Facebook, social media. I mean, you just, voices everywhere. This voice pulling. I mean, you can't get away from it. But really hearing the voice of God, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. Here, the prophet says that it must be the voice of our enemy to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. We would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. Oftentimes the voice of God speaks right from this pulpit. And people walk out and say, that's just the voice of a man. You wouldn't even understand the voice of God when it spoke. Brother Branham actually said, we could sit right here and it'll go right through us and we won't even know it. That's sad. I want to have an antenna on the inside that I can catch what God is trying to speak to me. The most important voice in this day is the voice of God. He says, and we noticed it was something similar to that with Eli and Samuel, but Eli recognized right away it was God. And it was absolutely a blaspheme on Eli, because the voice of God speaking to Samuel had told him about Eli's wrongdoings. For he had babied his sons, and they was taking money and the flesh from the offerings. That was not right. And they were doing things wrong, contrary to God's word. Samuel, only thing that Samuel could do would speak exactly, and he was a little reluctant to do so because it was against the very place that he was sent to be raised up in, Eli, and in the temple. But Eli said, speak on. He said, speak on. And he told him exactly what was going to happen, that Eli's day was finished as priest, because God had spoke and God was sending his message to Samuel the prophet, very odd birth, dedicated to the Lord from a child. God spoke to him as a child. It was preparing him for a work that laid ahead, and Eli's time was finishing up. It says, there is so many voices in the earth today that it's absolutely a hard thing, because it deadens the voice of the supernatural. There are so many intellectual voices, great voices. I'm gonna tell y'all another one. Another voice that's in the land today. It's the voice of podcasts. Y'all know it's the truth. Everybody got something to say. And everybody somehow has become an expert. And you got to listen to this one. You got to listen to, no. I ain't got to listen to all that. I need to listen to the word of the Lord. And when you get drawn into one podcast, you'll be drawn into another one. You'll be drawn into another. I mean, hours of your time just gone listening to different voices. And everybody got different thoughts about different things. Then you got people that just want to share all their feelings and emotions, especially this one. I don't want to minimize this too little, but I also don't want to maximize it either. And that's this mental health. Everybody want to talk about mental health, and actually everybody want to make mental health a very normal condition. It is not normal. It is a demon.
Amen.
You can't make it normal. Don't look. Cancer is not normal. Diabetes is not normal. High blood pressure is not normal. God did not make our bodies to suffer all of that. These things are abnormal. These are demons attacking us. So don't look, we're not going to minimize as well as not maximize mental health and make it seem like it's normal. It's not. You're being attacked by a demon. Praise God. Brother Random said, a man without the Holy Ghost is totally insane. He's insane, right? So this is why it's important to have the Holy Ghost. The old people used to have this saying that he can keep you. he'll keep you. He's a keeper. The Holy Ghost is a keeper. Yes, sir. And the other thing that they say, I thank God to be in my right mind. They used to say that all the time. I thank God to be in my right mind, because the devil's trying to take people's minds. I thank God to be in my right mind. Amen. Amen. It's a demon. It's a demon. So I don't want to minimize it, but I also don't want to maximize it. Praise God. Amen. He says there are so many intellectual voices, great voices, mighty men who are intellectual, that in their intellectual conditions even shake the nations. Says they're just not overnight people, but they shake nations, bringing great organizations together, great campaigns, flowery, and a person would be a bit confused, my Lord, and number the truth. They'll be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them. And especially when you get some of these the preachers that use the pulpit as a political platform. They already have a certain anointing on them. So they take that and use the pulpit as a political platform. And they're saying exactly what you want to hear. And you get confused. The voice of God ain't nowhere near it. And I'm going to just say this. People really think that this Bible is a Bible that was prophesied strictly to the United States of America. Mm-mm. This is for all mankind. But we do find ourselves in Revelation 13. A prophet told us that. Right? So let's be careful. Let's be careful. It says a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them. And one of the things that's confusing is how people actually take the scripture and twist it a little bit. And they twist it just to get you interested. But it's the same dish that Eve ate from. So be careful, church. Watch this. We got a pure voice. It was a prophet that came to us. All we got to do is stay with that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. It says, and a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them of how these things go on and prosper. And there's voices that raise up and do these things, and it causes the voice of God to be placed way back somewhere. The true voice of God. And that ain't none but the truth. I want to inject a scripture here, because with it being so many voices, it's hard to hear the voice of God. And here's the thing about the voice of God. I want to go to 1 Kings 19. Here's the thing about the voice of God. We're going to read about this. If I was to ask the question, when was the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? What would be your answer? I mean, God speaking directly to you. And how did you know it was the voice of God? All right. With all these voices, the voices that are going on today, and like I said, social media got voices, politics has voices. If you get caught up in sports, the voices there is like, oh my goodness. And you know, there used to be a time that people couldn't curse on normal TV the way that they curse right now. And you know, we sit there and listen to that, and then we kind of get deaf. Like we never even heard that curse word. Kids riding and listening to all of that, and the next thing you know, the kids let out one of the words. You're like, where'd they get that from? From that radio program that you're listening to. That's where they got that from. That's how they got that in their spirit. Right, but I mean, there's so many voices. Most of the voices that you hear out there in the word are what I call loud voices, because everybody trying to get your attention. The voice of God ain't loud like that. The voice of God is not loud like that. 1 Kings 19 is where we read a little bit about the voice of God. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Now, God know how to bring what you need to you. Not just a cake baking. It's already prepared. God know how to bring what you need directly to you. It says, he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I look at him now. And it says, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now, I want you to notice all this noise, all right, from this great wind that is renting rocks and everything else. I mean, just destruction all over the place. And this great wind, all this noise, but the Lord was not in it. Watch it now. I tell you, when you're trying to listen or hear the voice of God, it ain't going to be a bunch of noise. Yeah, most of us here that have heard the voice of God at least once in a life, and I'm coming to it, I'm getting ahead of myself, it's when we get quiet. When you are in prayer, praying, I've told you this once before, praying is not always you talking to God. Praying is also you listening. So you get to a certain spot and then you just stop and you listen to see what God is speaking to you about your situation. And that happens in quietness. It's not a bunch of noise when you listen, when you're looking to hear the voice of God. I mean, even when we go back to the story of Samuel, when God come to him in his room, that was in the quietness and the stillness of the night that God came to him to call him. Praise God. It's not a bunch of noise. We got too much noise in our life. Too much noise. That's why we can't hear God, and we get confused. We get confused whether it's the voice of God or not the voice of God. Go back and pick up a tape, listen to it. I mean, you know, there's times where I got to turn music off. I'm going to tell you, if you, when you really looking to hear something from God, music ain't got it. Music ain't got it. I need the word. I need the word. Somebody preaching. I need to hear the word. And I'm just listening, because I'm listening for the voice of God to give me instruction for right where I am. Amen, church. We need his voice. Here, verse 11 again, it says, and he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire." I mean, you talk about, and the fire make you move. Right? You're going to get out of its way. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And I love this. And after the fire, a still, small voice. This is where you're going to find God, in the stillness, in the quietness. That's where you hear his voice. That's why when you come to church and you're sitting in an atmosphere like this, you've settled yourself down. You've put business things to the side. You put work to the side. You put family issues to the side. And you just sit in the presence of the Lord so you can hear him speak to you. That's why we go to church. It's a quieter atmosphere. Yeah, we might worship, but after we worship, our mind's now in a spot where we can actually hear from God. And I'm going to tell you, when he speaks, it does cause a reaction. Yes, sir. Yeah, it causes me to say amen, because I was looking for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Here it goes on to say this, and I want you to catch something in the scripture. The reason Elijah was here is because he was discouraged about what Jezebel was getting ready to do. Brother Solomon gave a testimony a few Wednesdays ago. When you get discouraged, God will give you work to do. Amen. And he had some work to do that night. He come in like, me? That night, everything went wrong, and he was the only one ready and available to go. But God does it this way. And I'm going to show you just according to scripture, even with you, I'm using him as an example, but all of us understand, you'll be discouraged and you'll need to be encouraged.
Yes.
But God will put you in a situation where you have to encourage somebody else. You go to work for the Lord in discouragement. I need my own bill paid, but I'm feeling led to give this, hello, to somebody else. And that's why it's better to give than to receive. God know how to test you when you way down here. He know how to test you just to see what you're gonna do. And one thing I have found in my Christian journey is that he never fails. He never fails. Somehow, some way, he makes a way. I mean, he never fails. I can't see it. I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but I know he'll come through. He always has come through. Let me go on. Verse 12 says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So here his first assignment, even in his discouragement, right? He has to go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then it says, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now, I don't have time to go into all this, but I can tell you right now. Now, God gave him three things to do, but actually, according to scripture, Elijah only did one of these. Somebody else actually did the others. All right. But yet they had to be done. Now, the one that Elijah did was he anointed Elisha to be a prophet in his room. Now, I like this because I want to just mention something here. God himself is always thinking about a succession plan. God himself is always thinking about a succession plan. I mean, even right now, I pulled the deacons to the side and had a conversation with them and say, if something happened to me right now, what would y'all do with this church? I want to know where they mind at. I want to know what they how they thinking, what they talking about. I said, every year, we're going to revisit the plan as to what's supposed to happen with this church, because things change, right? Things change. People come, people go. But as things change, we want to be on top of what will happen in this church if something happened to Brother Jack. God himself thought of a succession plan for Elijah. And he says, go anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room. Not only did he anoint Elisha, Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Praise God. So what the way I look at that is that the ministry should not decrease. Come on, church. But the ministry should actually go further. It should go up to the next level. And I mean, it's just like a relay race. Amen. When they run a relay race, we always put our fastest runner on the back end. We put the best on the back end because, you know, this man got the ability to run somebody down. Right? So it needs to be when that baton is handed, it should be better. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord. Yes. Amen. Let me keep reading. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And let me inject this, because I ain't got time to read it. You know who Jehu slayed? Jehu slayed the only lady in the Bible that decided to put makeup on. Her name was Jezebel. And the reason that lady put that makeup on is because she was trying to appease the men. Jezebel got killed by Jehu. And Brother Branham said, a woman that would put on that makeup, you know what he told him? Call her Miss Dog Meat. Amen. Remember, I started this off early by saying, young people, you can get yourself to a spot where you go too far with God and you cross the line and you can't come back. You better stay with the Word of God. And I know, see, that's another voice that's confusing the people, the voice of fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm? I mean, that voice would get you. And I mean, Lord have mercy. If you just look around at people, they don't even look normal nowadays. What's these eyelashes things that, what is this? What is this you're wearing? What is this all over your face? What is this? And then the young people look at it like, oh, I wish my eyes could be that long. If God wanted your eyelashes to be way out there, he would have. People don't even look real. You have to do a double. What are you doing? If God wanted you to look that way, he would have made you that way. Amen. It's the truth anyhow. Right, but it's the voice of fashion. That stuff that it just pulls on us. And if you're watching these little video clips of people getting dressed and how they put this on and put that on and put this on and look at how they look after. I mean, see, now you think you gotta do a transformation. The only transformation you need is the Holy Ghost transformation. But if you get influenced by the stuff, that's the voice you're going to be listening to rather than the voice of the Word. The only woman in the Bible that put this stuff on got ate up by dogs. And let me tell you something. There's dogs out there in the world that'll eat you up. Not only eat you up, but spit you out after they done ate you up. Your name be on the bathroom wall somewhere and your telephone number. Praise the Lord. Ain't none but the truth. He says this. Verse 17, it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which have not kissed him. That means God going to have somebody standing.
Yes, sir.
God, you might not see him, but God got somebody standing. Elijah didn't know that these people were there, but these people are standing firm on their conviction for the Lord. God, God always got somebody. And that one person would be a witness against you if you crossed the line. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And look at that. Look at all this. It's so beautiful to me. Elisha had these oxen. He had a job. But when he was called, he forsook his job and he took off following Elijah. Watch this. And said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." He said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people. And they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Brother Random said that Elisha pretty much forsook everything in order to follow the word. And let me tell you something, in this day, we're going to have to forsake everything. We're going to have to forsake all of them other voices out there in order to be able to follow God's voice in this hour. It's going to cause us to probably disconnect with some family. It's going to cause us to disconnect with some friends. It's going to cause us to have to make some really, really tough decisions. But the word has got to be first in our life. Yeah, I can't go the way of the world. I want to go the way of the word. And that's every individual has to come to that conclusion, that decision in their own life. Mama couldn't make me do it. Daddy couldn't make me do it. They could encourage me, but I had to come to this decision for myself. And I learned something. The life that I'm living for Christ is the best life I could ever live. I didn't understand this years ago when Brother Branham made the statement. I didn't understand. I thought, wow, how could he say that? He said that if he served God all of his life and then got to the very end and God told him, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity, I know you're not." He says, "I would still keep on serving God because this is the best life that I could live." And let's just be honest. If you're a Christian, you're going to have problems. If you're in the world, you're going to have problems. Everybody got problems. There ain't nobody in this world ain't got no problems. We all got them. Only thing I got is hope with my problems. That's why I don't have to turn to drinking. I don't have to turn to smoking. I don't have to turn to running women. I ain't got to do none of that. I can just turn pages of my Bible and listen for the still small voice of God. And it gives me direction through every trial. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He'd be with me right there to the very end is what he said. I got somebody to help carry me through this. Oh, my. All right. Let me read just a little bit more here and I'll bring this to a close for tonight. I'm taking my time going through this, but I love this journey. Y'all going to see when we get into a little bit later. When I first started the church, on my 23, I believe. The first, when we started Bible studies, the reason that I do Bible study, is at that time we knew the message, man. When we were young people, Sister Wesco used to order the books from Voice of God, and she would write the family name on the book, and every family in the church would be able to get their own books. And so we had our own library building it at home, and we still got a whole bunch of books. you got the tapes. I mean, you got the app now, so you don't really need the books, but we still got them highlighted and all kind of things, you know. And but we read a lot. We read a lot in those days, and so we knew the message. We knew the message. But the thing that I felt that was lacking a lot is that a lot of people didn't know the Bible. They knew the message, but they didn't know the Bible. So the Lord just kind of took me on a journey. Before I even started the church, he started taking me on a journey through the Bible. And I'm still on that journey today, where I read through my Bible every year, right? And so with reading the Bible, I said, okay, now we can tie both of these together, the message and the Bible, so people know exactly where they stand. And the first book that God told me to start with 23 years ago was the book of 1 Samuel. And but we have taught Samuel, we've taught Revelation, we've taught Ephesians, we taught, I don't even know what else we taught, Genesis, I think, Hebrews. We done taught a lot. And actually, you think 23 years, we should have been done, went through the whole Bible. Uh-uh. Because we get into a night like this and just one scripture that we done went all the way over for weeks, that one scripture, like I had never, I'm telling you, tonight was the first time I seen it. You can cross the line in 1 Samuel. As I'm sitting here reading, I'm like, oh my goodness, you can cross the line. You can go too far. That's the way God does things. But my objective is that we understand through the scripture and the message how all this ties together. And this book of Samuel is going to take us through a journey when we get there and through David's life. And we're going to see things in Samuel, how they connect back to Psalms. And it's going to be intertwined like this. It's going to be a beautiful journey. But you know what? And y'all are like, well, when are we going to get there? When we get there. I'm going to take my time, and we're going to enjoy every nugget that God got for us along the journey. Praise God. All right, let me finish reading this. He says, paragraph 32. He says, in the voice of God, they say, how will we know it's the voice of God? Because for today, then it was in a vindicated prophet. Now today, how we know it's the voice of God? Because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. Lord have mercy. I told you earlier how brother just asked me, how could Kamala Harris be the fulfillment of the prophet's vision? It was a manifestation of the prophet's word in more ways than one. The prophet said it's going to either be a woman vice president or president or the Catholic Church. Then he also says that she's going to be dressed in purple. What picture did she take? I don't need no more. And if you're looking for another one, please spare me, because I can't take no more. I really can't take no more. I am ready to leave. What else are we going to have to go through to get another one? Please let that be the fulfillment so we can move on to number 7. Amen. My God. I don't know what people, I just don't get it. People won't, they want to stay here. Not me. There's nothing here for me. Amen. Heartache and pain and confusion and my God. No, I ain't got nothing to look forward to here on this earth. Just a baptism of fire for a new heaven and a new earth that God got prepared for me. Praise God. It says the manifestation, it says how we know it's the voice of God, because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. This is God's prophet. Now, when he's saying that this is God's prophet, what do you think Brother Branham is pointing to? Exactly right. Brother Branham was saying it like this is God's prophet. That means we need to know God's prophet. I'm going to tell you something. If you know your Bible, then people can't just throw anything over on you. It's people that's in church today in bondage, in church, in a message church, in bondage, because they don't know who they are according to the Bible. Oh, my. I'm telling you, it just does something when you know you stand. And you, I was in a meeting with a bunch of ministers, and we got to talking about a particular subject, and I pulled out some quotes and a couple of scriptures, and I pulled them together, and just sat there. I just watched the room just go. What you trying to say? I ain't trying to say nothing. I'm saying what the prophet said. But when you know where you stand, can't nobody shake you. Can't nobody shake you. Amen. Mm, And you got to be able to stand on your own revelation.
Amen.
Got to be able to do that. All right, look. This is God's prophet. A true voice of God only brings that real living supernatural God with his supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Can I say that again? A true voice of God only brings back that real living supernatural God with his supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Then we know it's the voice of God. Now, I'm gonna tell you, if you want to post something, there's a little clip, a little quote that you can post. Let everybody know that the true voice of God only brings back that real living supernatural God with his supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Then we know that it's the voice of God, because the super, there's so much other in the other realms. There's so much other in the other realms. We ain't even tapped into it yet. He says it just almost deadened that out. But remember, it will glisten. And you know what else he said? It'll come forth. It'll do it. I say amen. I say amen. Amen. Satan just been trying to deaden it down, water it down with all these other voices. But we're going back to hear the true voice of God.
Yes, sir.
God's prophet. Because that's what God's prophet said. Look, it says if a man hears the voice, now listen, catch this real good. Don't fail. If a man hears the voice of something, and if it's proven to be the voice of God and on time, and then that proceeds forth from the man, heavens and earth will pass away, but that word can't pass away. Noah heard the voice and condemned the world, and they laughed in his face because his message didn't cope with their scientific achievements, but it rained and destroyed the whole world. See, his voice that went forth, the seed was laying there. Every age has been the same way. Samuel alarmed when he heard the voice of God, that he'd go ahead to condemn Eli, the man that had nurtured him, the man that had been a daddy to him, that raised him up and fed him. It says, minister brothers, shall I ministers many times upon their denominational grounds and creeds, their credentials in their pocket, of the very pappy, the very organization that nurtured them and fed them and brought them up and positioned and put them in church and put them in a congregation, you have to nut down to what they teach. See, what a horrible thing it would be for a true servant of God to hear the voice of God and have to come back to that same organization and say, you're condemned because you don't receive this word. What a thing. It was hard for Samuel, but he was a prophet. He had to do it regardless of whether it hurt or not. He had to do it anyhow. He had to stay with the word. That's what Samuel had to do. And again, standing there, and having to tell Eli, the very man that's feeding you, his mother has left him here under Eli's care, and the very man that is taking care of you, raising you, you have to come and tell that man, God is gonna bring judgment upon your house. And you have crossed the line, and ain't nothing you can do to come back over. You cannot repent, you can't give God no offering, you can't do nothing. You have crossed the line. Can you imagine that? For Samuel being a young prophet, he knew nothing else to do but just tell him exactly what God had told him. Thank God for people that stay with the word. Thank God for young people that stay with the word. Thank God for older people that stay with the word. Thank God for people that stay with the word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for God, the ability to hear the voice of the Lord, and you speak quietly. You showed us here tonight, sometimes it's not great wind and earthquakes and fire, but it's a still small voice that gives us warning in the depths of our soul, and we have to yield to that. As individuals, we have to yield to what the voice of the Lord is calling us to. We have to make a decision that we'll follow you, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And we can see people doing wrong, and we can try to justify our wrongs with their wrongs, but that's not what we want to do. We want to live according to the word of the Lord. Let us be the light. Let us be the example. Let us be the city upon a hill which cannot be hid. God, that's the desire that we have in our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that as this word has been spoken tonight, that it will bring forth fruit in every heart and every life, those present, those online. God, let the word bring forth fruit in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let me have tonight's announcements. All right. So Sunday morning, we have prayer from 9 to 10. Service will be at 10:30. Our Sunday school is from 9:30 to 10. We have our youth and our young adult. And as I mentioned in the young adult class, they have just started going through the study of the seven church ages, which is a very, very good study. It's going to take them past a year to go through this. So I encourage you, if you would like to get in on that, it would behoove you to be a part of that. And I am grateful. I did see some other young people starting to get involved in that, so I'm happy. Sow into your own spirit, man. It's very important. But Church Age book is a very, very important book. Sometime in the month of May, actually, Brother George Smith is going to be passing our way. I forget which weekend it's going to be, but Brother Branham's son-in-law, Brother George Smith, will be here preaching for us. And he's the one that told us to keep the balance in your life. Read your Bible, a page from the Church Age book, pray. He said those are the things that help keep balance in your life. So we're doing that Church Age study and in the young adults Sunday school. And so even though it has ages 13 to 20, adults are welcome to join if they would like to, especially with that Church Age study. Our streaming continues through Facebook, which is SAT Tabernacle, and also our church website, john423.org. We have an upcoming youth service that's on this Friday night. It'll be at 7:30 p.m. We'll have a youth service right here and invite all of our youth. I believe I heard that we have some specials. If there's anybody else that wants to be on that specials list, please make sure you see Brother Marquise. And also, the youth will have an outing on Saturday, May 10th. The time is to be determined, and it's going to be at Altitude Trampoline Park. One thing that our those that are working with our youth, they're trying to get information out as early as possible so that everyone can make plans accordingly. So Saturday, May 10th, the time will be determined, but Altitude Trampoline Park, they want to do a youth outing. Is there an age limit on this one? Five and up? Okay, all right. All right, so five and up is welcome to attend. Now, we can't do that all the time, but this one, the younger ones can get in there. So parents, we encourage you to make sure to have your children a part of that Saturday, May 10th. All right, so next Wednesday, we will be doing a communion and feet washing service here. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. It'll start right at 7:30, communion and feet washing. And then on next Friday, April 18th, we will have a Good Friday service. Right here, I have to say I'm happy to be home for Easter this year. I'm very happy to be home and looking forward to our Easter services. Amen. I'm really looking forward to that. So, Good Friday service on Friday night, April 18th, and then don't forget our meetings. I will restore, saith the Lord, July meetings, and. Keep the meetings in prayer. You all know that there's finances that are involved and carrying forth a meeting. If you desire to give towards the meeting, just if you zeal it or whatever, just make sure you say it's for the meetings. If you put it in an envelope, just make sure you say it's for the meetings. We do have expenses that we have to take care of for the meetings, but you know, there's things as a pastor that I have to subject myself to, sometimes the congregation, and sometimes subject myself to the offices of the church. And the offices of the church said, we don't want to ask people to give a specific amount, just let people give from their hearts. So I say, praise the Lord. I subject myself to that, and I just say, please give from your heart towards the meetings. Amen. It's going to be July 25th through July 27th, and I've been a lot of people have been mentioning, especially I was just in South Carolina, so many said, looking forward to y'all meetings. So we want to do right. We got some things we need to start planning and getting ready for that. So let's, I know that we're going to start working on some of the rehearsals for the choir. And we'll put the dates out there as soon as we can. So the meeting is going to be held at Palm Beach Gardens High School. That's in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And, you know, it's a very, very nice facility. And the other thing is, I better not say that. I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to let words come out of my mouth that might not be true. But I was going to say that even when the Lord bless them in the church. It might be something, but I'm taking it back. I know y'all was wondering what I was going to say, so I'm taking that back. Because sometimes your thought is heard louder in heaven than the word on earth, so I'm taking that one back. I don't know what God got in store for us. I know he got something to blow our mind. Amen. But these meetings are planned to be held at Palm Beach Gardens High School. We can seat 800 people there, and I anticipate that it would be more than enough room to accommodate the saints as they come. All right, anything else that I have to make mention of there? Okay, so our giving is in multiple ways. We have Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. Preferred method is always Zelle because they don't take fees. And PayPal and Cash App is also an option. But if you use PayPal or Zelle, it's giving@john423.org. Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. We also have a mailing address on the bottom of the screen for those that want to mail in an offering. The saints that are in the sanctuary, you do also have the opportunity just to give in the box in the back if you desire to. All right, but these are multiple ways of giving. Okay, is that all that I need to mention? Okay, all right. Okay, we can put that on for the future. Brother George will be coming to minister for us on May 18th. Brother George Smith will have the prophet's son-in-law with us. I'm grateful, very, very grateful. Thank God. Do we have any testimonies or prayer requests that we want to make mention of tonight? Okay, we got a couple hands here.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Just asking prayer again for my niece Megan. She's been in and out of the hospital this week with very, very low blood pressure. Her heart is beating 30 beats per minute. It's way, way low, and she passed out and saying it wasn't her sugar. She has problems with her sugar, but they're thinking it's her heart, the last I heard last night. And also asking that you please keep my sister, Shantaria, and her pregnancy in prayer.
Okay.
God bless you. I just first want to praise God for traveling mercies over the highways and skyways over the weekend. Also, I'm asking for prayer for an upcoming interview I have for a promotion. It'll be next Wednesday.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else?
God bless everyone. I'd like to ask for prayer for one of my clients, Ms. Maxine Carter. I finally had to put her in a rehabilitation center. Dementia had really just taken over her. And also a praise report, just that what the enemy has meant for evil, I thank God that he's already turned it around for my good.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord. I was watching on the service last week, and I heard the praise report for the Johnson family, and very, very grateful for what the Lord has done in providing them a place. Finally, West Palm Beach is home. And we just thank God. We thank God for his provision. All right, we will take these requests before the throne of the Lord and trust him, amen, in each of these situations. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your goodness and your mercies. And Lord, as Sister Michelle was saying, what the enemy meant for evil, you have turned it all around for good. And we're believing you to do the same for these requests that we have here before you. Sister Shondak's prayer for her cousin Megan. Low blood pressure, heart rate is also low, and just different ailments that the enemy is attacking Megan's body. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus and pray, Lord, that you would be a healer unto her, and you would prove to Megan that you are a healer. And if Megan does not know you in the pardon of sin, may you use this as an opportunity to bring her closer to you, Father, as we just stand in the gap on her behalf. We also want to lift up Sister Shantara. God, in this time of pregnancy, you know all about it, and you know her desire, Lord, and her husband's desire. We pray that you would meet their desires, Lord, even right now. You watch over her throughout this pregnancy, that you would give her a safe delivery of a child, God, into this world. It's your purpose and your plan for us to be fruitful and to multiply. And God, they are trying to fulfill your promise. So we pray that you would cover them and that you, Lord, watch over them and that there would be no effects, oh God, for through this pregnancy, but everything would just go smooth. Lord, is our prayer. We also want to remember Miss Carter, who had to be admitted to a facility because of some of the things she's going through in her body. We ask that you administer to her needs, Lord, even right now. God, that she wouldn't be forgotten about there. She would be taken care of properly, oh God. And that, Father, you would even restore her body, that you would touch her, Lord. We know dementia is not too hard for you. There's nothing that's too hard for you. So we commit her, Father, into your hands even now. And we're praying that you would go before Sister Virginia. She has an interview, God, for a promotion. And one thing that we are aware of is that you have called us into a year of overflow. And overflow means increase. And we look for that both on the natural side as well as on the spiritual side. We look for both, oh God. So we're declaring and claiming that she will do well on the interview, that she would be received as the new person to take that job. We don't know who else would be going for that interview, but God, we're believing that you would give her favor. That God, you would just, you would do the exceeding, the abundant above all she could ask or think. So Father, we commit her now into your hands and just believe that you will do what you said. Father, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, we ask that you would just go with us, that you would keep us until we're able to come back together again. And may you, Lord Jesus, continue to minister to the hearts and to the needs of your people. May you get glory and honor out of all that we do, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I forgot to mention, on Sunday it's possible that we could have a guest minister from UK. He's a pastor, Pastor Crosby Maleko, from Zimbabwe, but lives in the UK and has a wonderful church there. Powerful testimonies on how God has provided for them. Just all I can say is just powerful testimonies. He had called me up and said he was going to be passing through for a wedding. And he said he'd love to come and fellowship with us. I said, yes, sir, that would be an honor if you are able to come and be with us, because I know that our church would be blessed, amen, by that. So Sunday we're expecting, amen, that he will come and be a part of us. I will, I told you all a few weeks ago about a project that I'm working on. So I'm traveling this weekend to start that project because we're trying to get things started and finished before the meetings. So I'll be traveling this weekend, but the guest minister will be here, and I know the church is going to be blessed by what comes forth, amen, from Brother Crosby. So look forward to that. Please keep that in prayer. Please keep me in prayer. And but I look forward to being back for next week and ready for our Easter. I'm looking for God to just move in our midst. Amen. For Easter, praise God. God bless you all. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.